They are innovators, visionaries, people pushing themselves, moving us all forward. They are architects, artists, teachers, builders, designers, dreamers, and doers. They are change makers at USGBC. Welcome to an all-new season of Changemakers, brought to you by USGBC Plus, the member magazine of USGBC. I'm Rakesh Samarasekara. What do you think of when you hear the words slum or poverty? Sit with that thought for a moment. Dr. Antuya Kom is an associate professor at San Francisco State University, co-founder of iSeed, and co-founder of Streetwise. And when Dr. Kom hears the words slum or poverty, he thinks of genius and hotbeds of green innovation. He thinks of masters of Tao, that is, people turning adversity into opportunity. In this episode of Changemakers, we are taking you inside a special talent effect session recorded at Greenbuild 2016 in Los Angeles. This session was inspired by Dr. Kom's work to more deeply connect the built environment to the people it serves. Over the next few minutes, we'll hear from Brendan Owens, Chief of Engineering at USGBC, Dr. Kom, Tessa Cruz, Program Manager for iSeed, and Carla Ortiz, Youth Organizer with the East Los Angeles Women's Center. Brendan's university training had equipped him to design structurally sound buildings, but it did not touch on the implications a building would have on the surrounding community. It lacked the importance of social side effects. In the upcoming conversation, you'll hear a discussion around actionable ways to connect buildings to the communities they are a part of. Now let's listen in. Here's Brendan.
We're setting up a conference call to talk about this session, talk about logistics, talk about questions that we wanted to have. And he responded with this. Hi, Cindy and all. Yes, I can join the conference call tomorrow. Please just send a call-in number. And some good news to share. Streetwise just got invited to speak at the event below hosted by President Obama. So cool. Looking forward to speaking more tomorrow. Peace and joy, Antwi. So that's his email. We got invited to speak at this event hosted by the President of the United States. Cool, right? Cool the K, I should have said that. So this is an amazing man, and he's done really important work, and he's brought, I think, a conversation that the buildings industry, the one that I grew up in, and the one that still I think is the dominant paradigm, desperately needs. So I'm going to turn it over to you, sir, and then we're going to have some fun.
Hello, everyone. Such an honor to be here and see familiar faces. So thank you all for coming. What really inspired me about this Talent X session was the location, being here in Los Angeles. And I really started to think about what had happened 50 years ago here in LA, which were on the 50th anniversary of the Watts Rebellion. And I started to really think about and go back into history around 4,000 National Armed Guards descending into Watts, and $40 million in property damage to that community, 34 lives lost, all around the issue of police brutality. And that being the worst incident that had happened in our nation's history until 1992 with Rodney King. And 50 years later, black and brown folks are still facing this human rights crisis and systematic racial terrorism in our communities that has led to serious racial tension that needs to be transformed into race consciousness, particularly for those of us who are helping to build the cities of now and the cities of the future. And if you really start to think about the built environment being an outgrowth of our cultural values, right? The built environment reflects our cultural values. It really makes us start to think about who's included in those cultural values and who's excluded, and what can we in this room do to transform the built environment so that it's not just working for the 1%, but so that it's working with the 100%. And if we get upset when a black male takes a knee, but we don't get upset when black men are taking bullets, right? We know that we're in serious need of cultural changes. And what we wanted to do today was really shine the light on a group of people who are often left out of conversations around sustainability, around smart cities, around urban planning, around social justice, and that's young people, right? How are young people experiencing their communities? What is their vision of sustainability? How do they think that we should be helping to shape the neighborhoods that all of us live in and negotiate on a daily basis? And so what we wanted to set up here was a really special session that builds off of a lot of the work that the USGBC is doing in terms of LEAD ND, and really go into the neighborhoods where young people live, learn, work, play, pray, and talk to them and hear from them directly about what are their needs and how can we collectively work with them better. So that's going to be the session, and we hope you enjoy it. Brendan's gonna take them through a series of questions, and we're gonna hear directly from them, and then we're gonna open it up for Q&A at the end so you can ask all of us questions, and so that we can really build. For folks who know my work, it's really about lifting up all of the expertise in this room. There's so much local knowledge that's right here that you all are often listening to us as the experts, and these folks are experts, but we also want to hear from your expertise. So that's the plan of action, and we hope you enjoy the session. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Brother B.
So I gotta be honest with you, I hope I'm up to this conversation. I don't feel equipped, anywhere near equipped, to be sitting with these folks. So, but let's get into it. Tell us who you are and how you got here.
Well, my name is Carla Ortiz. I'm 17, so I'm pretty young, as you said. I can say I'm the youngest one in the room. And I'm here on behalf of the East Los Angeles Women's Center, which is a nonprofit organization that I work with. We work around violence prevention, but specifically focus on sexual assault and domestic violence. And I'm here to just bring awareness that women and young people as myself need a space in which we can feel comfortable within our communities, and we won't feel like we're being terrorized, or we won't feel the need to hide anymore. So that's who I am, and that's why I'm here today.
Hi everyone, my name's Tessa. I am originally from Oakland. Recently relocated to Cleveland, Ohio. I went to school at Oberlin College, a recent grad there, where I studied environmental studies. And when I was there, I was really frustrated with the fact that nobody was talking about gentrification in my sustainable development classes. And they weren't talking about race, and they weren't really giving voice to the issues that were on the ground. And I was really frustrated with this. When I graduated, I started seeking out folks that were doing this work, and I found Dr. Combe and Ekta Shah, and forced them to take me underneath their wing. Now I support their team, and we work on a project called Streetwise, which is a community engagement platform that is a mobile mapping MSMS tool that allows everybody, people, to share their experiences with one another to build social cohesion, and to also share that with decision makers so that development can happen in a more accurate and meaningful way for people on the ground.
So our audience, Green Build, generally speaking, is architects, engineers, designers, planners. And I guess the question that we'd like to hear your thoughts on are the things that these folks need to internalize in their everyday work, number one. What do we need to learn? What do we need to unlearn from your perspective to give you a thriving, sustainable community?
Opening up space for youth specifically and for women that are always being targeted. I can speak on the youth behalf because I feel like there isn't enough space for us to just go out there, chill, hang out with each other, and then just explain to each other what we're going through, what are our daily struggles. And I feel like if there was a space for youth, then there wouldn't be so much incriminalization or so much profiling against the young youth, because we will and we are going to be involved within our communities and helping our communities thrive. But if we don't have this space, then how are we expected to thrive? How are we expected to go to college? How are we expected to do so much if we don't have these spaces?
Thanks. Okay, we're going to do the same question. I'm going to change my give to what can we make together? What do we need to make together to make that happen?
I think, especially in actually Oakland and Cleveland, the safety of Black and brown communities is really an issue, but also the safety of Black and brown communities as it pertains to threats of new development and gentrification and displacement of these folks' lives and their actual livelihoods, the local businesses, not just the residents, but the local businesses as well. And both of those cities are actually thinking, and probably many other cities are thinking about how to redevelop their downtown, which is definitely important, but they're struggling with how to do it in an equitable way that actually incorporates the desires of the people that live there and the people that work there. And so that, in combination with the police brutality, is like a recipe for disaster, because it's just going to continue to push people out that live there and work there. And yeah, I think that that's a really critical issue right now.
So how do you fix that?
I would say, kind of like Carla said, like having folks on the ground in the conversation and at the decision-making table is one way to take a step forward. But also, like, looking deep into yourself and thinking about why you guys do this work. What is your goal? What do you want to accomplish? And your decisions go beyond just the scope of one project. They affect families. They affect families' families. They affect like generations of families. And looking into yourself and actually confronting why you do this work, but also confronting your biases and your privileges, and opening up that conversation in your workplace and in the work that you do, I think can take a really strong step to confronting the issue.
What are you doing? Tell us.
Well, I'm a youth organizer at the Los Angeles Women's Center, and myself, along with Hilda and another young women, we train younger females on the cycle of violence and healthy relationships, and we're strong advocates of restorative justice, so we're always teaching them that their voices will matter no matter what the situation is. And the way I see it is that if we start now with these younger youth, it's like we're planting a seed, and eventually the more that we're teaching them, the more that they're knowing, they start to grow. And I feel like if we were to do this with all of the youth, we would eventually have like a garden, but it would be a beautiful garden of all these young, you know, youth that are out there and they're advocating. But if there's nothing for us to plant, there's no seed, there's no soil, then there's definitely, we're not gonna have these youth out there advocating for things that we're now advocating, when they can be the ones helping us, because it's all with one ripple. We're just that one, but if they keep coming in, it'll eventually get bigger and bigger. And that's definitely why I do the work that I do, and that's what I do within my community.
So you're building a movement, you're building a group of people who are capable of creating change in your spaces. And you've talked about the importance of that at the outset. How in focus is your vision of a sustainable community? What does it look like when somebody says that to you? What is your ideal place look like?
So at first when I heard the question, I thought sustainability, so that means stable, right? So I obviously was like, okay, four things that we need to know is equity over equality, definitely. Just like she mentioned, like if we know the difference between equality over equity, then we will definitely have a sustainable society, because then justice will fall in, and as well as safety. But if we have no idea or the understanding of what equality over equity is, then we can't have a stable community. We can't have a stable environment to keep thriving off of.
And the first thing that came to my mind was my mom, actually, because my mom has been a victim of displacement for like a very, very long time. And it's heartbreaking to think of your mom like not being able to be in one place for the rest of her life. And she can't think about her needs because she's constantly thinking about where am I gonna live. And if she is, as a white woman, is experiencing that, like families, like large families and people of color in Black and brown communities, that is a huge burden. The ability to have a stable home life and a stable place to live where you can rely on the social cohesion in your community, you can have a job, you can have like a community to rely on and not have to worry about being displaced. That to me means sustainability.
Great. So what are you going to do in the future? Talk about what it looks like. What are you going to do? How are you going to get there?
I'm really excited about the work that I do with Streetwise. So Streetwise, like I said, is a community engagement platform, and it allows everyday people to share their lived experience within a place and share that with one another and share it with decision makers. So for example, I may know that the park down the street is the place where drugs are sold or where there's a lot of gang violence, but somebody else may not, and a decision maker may not. They may just see that park and think that, oh, this is a great community. There's like 5 parks here. And so sharing that local knowledge, I think, is a really great way to make that, start making those changes and start to actually have decisions made that are reflective of what people want on the ground. And also the importance of creating important and meaningful two-way feedback loops between cities and community members so that there's actually meaningful dialogue that's happening between people that are work in the city or decision makers or planners and people that are on the ground. And Streetwise definitely helps folks do that.
So you're at a really kind of critical stage deciding what happens after high school, right? You're already out there training people, teaching them, probably who are older than you. What are your next steps? What is the next 5 years for you?
Well, the next 5 years, I plan to finish college. They just started. I'm a freshman in Cal State LA. So definitely, like I've mentioned, people ask me, oh, what is your plan after college? What do you plan to do? But honestly, my plan starts now. Like, my vision starts here. Just building nonprofit organizations and vibing and connecting with other people that have the same goals and same expectations as I do for my community, just like these people up here. And I plan to be a clinical psychologist after I graduate and start a nonprofit of my own, in which if I don't see space that there is for youth, then I will definitely start to provide and make that space, because I feel like it's really important to create that space for young youth, for young people out there, and to just help them in their daily life and just reminding them that this isn't the end and we're just starting, because change does happen with them and it will start eventually with them. But they just need that space or that extra push or just a mentor, and I definitely plan to be that person just to inspire them and tell them like, hey, this isn't it, you're just starting.
All right, so we're done the questions that we had prepared. I just want to say, as we were having these conversations, I mentioned that I don't know whether or not I'm prepared for this, because all of my university training lacked this conversation. I can design a pipe. I can you know, make sure a building doesn't fall down from a structural standpoint. But all of these conversations about what happens when you execute a project in a location, my personal experience, and I'm realizing I should have been more introspective about it, but in the moment I wasn't, is absent of that. And I continue to go back to Purdue, was where I went to school, and engage with other people in engineering, and I feel that same thing is still a problem. So there's a lot of opportunity that you guys have to internalize the conversation and the issues that we're talking about so that you don't get 15 years into your career and all of a sudden say, wow, all this stuff matters that I have no ability to sort of even a vocabulary around it. So that's why this guy being here is so important. He's giving us a vocabulary to incorporate these types of conversations, and not just incorporate them so we're thinking about them, incorporate them in a way that is actionable, which is what's so great about what I heard from you guys, is that there's concrete things that are happening and that are going through.
Learning something new is great, but it's even better when you can do something with it. This year, we're introducing a new Changemaker segment called The Takeaway that'll distill key points and give you ways to take action. The conversation we just listened to centers on access and opportunity. Dr. Akam's work shows the powerful insights we learn when diverse perspectives and underprivileged people are brought to the table. Think about the work you do. How can you make it more inclusive? We just heard from Tessa Cruz and Carla Ortiz about how they're working to raise awareness. Through the power of collaboration, we can have development without displacement. Streetwise's work to incorporate the needs and perspectives of everyone in the community while in the planning and development stages speaks to the evolving opportunity for professionals in the buildings industry to drive transformation and social progress. In the article that accompanies this episode on usgbc.org, you'll find a list of things you can do right now. For example, every USGBC member has the opportunity to propose pilot credits that focus on what they would like to see LEED address. From bird collision deterrence to informing design using triple bottom line analysis, LEED has a built-in testing environment to encourage innovation and explore new ways to affect the change that is so much a part of the mission of our movement. Dr. Antu Akam will join USGBC again as the opening plenary speaker at the Green Schools Conference and Expo. That's happening March 21st and 22nd in Atlanta, Georgia. You can register now at greenschoolsconference.org. There are limitless things competing for your attention, so we greatly appreciate you sharing this time with us, and we hope you enjoyed this episode of Changemakers. Now, we want to hear from you. What was your favorite part of today's episode? What were your takeaways? Use hashtag ChangemakersUSGBC to share your thoughts on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn. We'd love to know what you think. Thanks for listening.